I thank the Lord for the privilege to get to be back. It's an honor, and I'm already anticipating next year, and so I need y'all to help me pray about something. I'm going to have to train. I'm going to need you to help me train. I'm going to have to train myself. I got a year to get myself ready to come back here. I might get in shape. I like to died last night, and I still ain't over it. And I am not joking. If I believed in, what is it, levitating, I believe I could have done it last night. Amen. Good night. And so literally, I am going to try to get in shape. I used to be 300 pounds. And when you have heart issues, I lost a good bit of that. I'm going to lose some more. Somebody help me. I want you to find the book of Job tonight. The book of Job, chapter number 14. I want to say a few things. You know, I think I've been coming about 8 years. And yesterday morning, I got my notebook out. And I started writing some of my greatest failures. I wouldn't want you to read that notebook. I have prayer list. I have notes that I wouldn't want nobody to read as a pastor. People that God's woke me up in the middle of the night. I've told my wife some things that, and I probably need to destroy them. But if not, for her to get rid of them and don't let nobody see them. Pastoring in the same place all these years, and God trouble you about people, and you put it on your prayer list or your prayer journal, and you pray. I wouldn't want to hurt nobody, but I'm human. I can't remember everything. And I write it down and pray. You ought to have a prayer journal, a prayer list. And I was thinking of still waters that I don't know how y'all feel, but I don't feel like I have to measure up to anybody. I go to a lot of churches. I feel like I had to try to measure up to somebody. And I want people to come to our church, and I don't want them to feel like they got to measure up. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? I have things that are in my heart and head I want to say, but I don't know how to get them out. I preach at our place that I want to have a church to where a man that has millions of dollars could pull up in a Rolls Royce, park beside an oil dripping, fender flopping, 1976 model Pinto with an orange and a camouflage ratchet strap holding it on, and they get out and shake hands. Somebody help me. Well, I feel that here too. And I want to say it's wonderful. Don't you ever get in your mind that the preacher is exempt from trouble, flesh, and sin. And I feel like I'm confessing to you, but I want to help you. I wrote down several of my mistakes. I'm going to give you two of probably, I have a handful of great failures. Some I can share. And Brother Josh has made fun of me so much. I might pray about coming back here. I got half and half tea today, and he said, yeah, it's what old people do. He said, my Lord. Well, anyhow, I've been here, and I want to share this to try to help you. One of my greatest failures as a young man was I was very impatient. I was very impatient. I rushed decisions. I learned the hard way that hasty decisions are hated decisions. Hasty decisions are hated decisions. I wished I would have learned that if I would preach God's never late, but I would rush God. And if I really believe that God's never late, I would have learned to wait differently. And so these days, I'm in the largest building project that I have ever been in, and that's all I've done. I told preacher today that there's not been one day in our entire ministry that we've not had some kind of building project going on with the camp and everything. And we're trying to build a big Sunday school complex so I can keep our camp up and get our Sunday school under one building. And I've got people saying, won't you hurry? We're going to get this. Well, I'm waiting on the Lord. And I want to try to do it without borrowing money. And we ain't going to need but about $1.5 million. But I'm already a little over $250,000. So I believe God can do it. Amen. And so if God's never late, I'm learning to wait different. And so I just want to share a failure with you. Sometimes you get in your mind that preachers are way up here and you're way down here. Ground's level at Calvary. And I have failed of being impatient. And then I don't want to make nobody mad from this whole congregation, from preacher all the way around. But all these kids are in here. Moms and dads, would you listen to me? I'm not your pastor, but I am your evangelist and have been for several years. You know what one of the greatest failures I made as a parent? Is I got my kid, one of them, way too soon. Preachers have got babies. I am, boy, if you think I'm stepping over my bounds. God's told me to do this tonight. And I want to say to all you parents, boy, I'd be careful giving my kids one of them. Amen. That, man, I'm telling you, Brother Chris, one of the greatest mistakes I ever made. Shelby, brother, you hear me? Man, I love y'all. Brother Jeff, I've wrote a list, that would be in one of the top five greatest failures I ever did as a parent, Brother Tim. It caused me some battles that I wished I'd have never knew about. My children are 25 and 22. And if you want to know the ages that I give it to them, you come ask me. I'm not your pastor. But you kids, if you don't have a cell phone, you ought to count your blessings. Elijah, one day you're going to want a cell phone, and your daddy probably ain't going to let you have one. You just remember daddy's doing right. You hear me, son? Jonah? You're going to want a phone one day, but daddy's going to say no. You just remember daddy's doing right. Yeah. I hope I ain't hit a wall in here, but I wrote that in the top five of my greatest failures. And you say, well, did you have any? Did you govern it? Oh, yes, we governed it. We had everything you could put on it, but I need you to listen to me. They can get around that. Don't ask me how, but they can. Games that are supposed to be easy, you know, and parental, you know, that's supposed to be good for the kids, somehow or another, and I'm no tech man, but I've got some men in my church that are very, very smart with this. There's links to those games that carry them places they ought not go. And I love Stillwaters Baptist Church. I love you so much. And I shared two with you tonight. I may share two more tomorrow night. I don't know. This has been a different week for me. I asked the Lord coming out. I said, Lord, why do you want me to do that? He won't even talk to me about it. But I need you to understand that I have not lived in just success after success after success. We have had success, but comes through great failure. And God has a great plan for y'all. And if it was bad, you know, a decade ago, 25, 15, more than that, I mean, the devil slipped me one of the biggest counterfeits with my children. And it was a flip phone. Y'all remember the flip phones? It wasn't even, are we okay, preacher? Boy, if I ain't, I don't want you to think I'm taking the Lord over the flock. It wasn't even one of these phones. It was a flip phone. But what happened is other people got their number. And y'all know when you could text on them, A, B, you'd have to mash that one button like 97 times and you'd miss it. If I had to text on that, I'd quit. I was very impatient. And what I said on that second one would probably be one of the top five greatest failures that I ever had. And you know, a man that's had failure, he ought to share it and you learn from another man's mistakes. Would you want to know one more? Would you, for real? Would you like to know one more? My money. You know, God, do you know he preached about money more than he did anything else? He preached on hell more than he did heaven. If you want to study the life of Christ, he had a lot more to say about money than he did anything. And if I could go back, I had a pastor try to convince me one time that a pastor didn't need to tithe. Well, I mean, this, I'm confessing, Brother Seth. I need to go. Y'all need to turn the lights down and get behind the booth. It's confession. I want to help you. And if you're not a tither, and if you're a young convert and you don't know about this, we're not talking to you. But you that are in church that know about church, you know, this is revival. A lot of people want all the shout. Revival, you just come in and echo. And evidently I've been echoing what the preacher's saying. I am right now and don't even know it. Again. And listen, whether you believe this or not, God put me in hell. That's how serious I am. We're not talking about this stuff. Your preacher, can I tell him what you saved me today on money? You sure? He saved me about $180 today. And I wanted to hug his neck and got me a crappy rod. I was preaching up north about 3 or 4 months ago. Well, it was before Christmas. And told him I was a crappy fisherman. The pastor called me in his office and he said, I don't want curse words or slang words in my pulpit. I said, what did I say? He said, you was a crappy fisherman. I said, I am a crappy fisherman. They're fish. So I got to learn to say crappie. I am a crappie fisherman. Y'all understand how he took that? He apologized to his church, Brother Tim. I probably never will get to go back up there, but the South did rise again is all I got to say. I am a crappy fisherman. I love saying that now, Rojo. Hey, I'm going to go get me a tattoo. Hey! I feel real good here tonight. Let's go to the tattoo parlor tonight. I get JG on there too, somebody at me. And I said, I wasn't saying a bad word. And I had to explain to him. And then he tried to teach me I was saying it wrong. So I'm a crappie fisherman. I'm a crappie preacher too. But one of my other failures was, is I tried that for a few short weeks. And it took me several months to get over it. And If the Lord has granted unto you the success of paying tithes and still paying bills with no pressure, now it's pressure to live in this day and age. But when God really began to bless me and my wife was when we started giving above a tithe. This is strong meat. A tithe is God's regardless. The tenth, a tithe. Somebody said, oh, that's Old Testament doctrine. I can biblically show you it's New Testament. No, but everybody wants to say, well, let's get the New Testament. Well, if it's New Testament, go sell everything you got and give all of it down here to the house of God. I think I'll live under the law with my money. Somebody help me. I'm about to introduce a turnaround Sunday to our church. We've had double tithe for years, but I'm going to give them preparations for this. A turnaround Sunday is you give God 90 and you take 10. And you know why my church don't know about it yet? It's because I'm doing it first. A pastor leads by example. Amen. Y'all probably didn't want to know about that third problem I had, that failure, was my money. And so I want to encourage you with your money to make sure you don't cut your throat with God. When me and my wife first got married, we tithed to the penny. Does anybody know what tithing to the penny is? Because I would literally have to measure where I'm going that week to see if I'd have enough of gas. Is everybody okay? I think I'm hurting it. When you let go of what's in your hand, God will let go of what's in his hand. Well, that's 14 minutes. Are y'all okay? Y'all want to know another failure? I can talk about failure. So be careful. Be wise with your money. Don't rob God. Job chapter 14 tonight. I've been trying to preach this. This is my Easter message. I tried to preach it last week in revival. I tried to preach it all day Sunday. I come in here Monday was going to try to preach it. I come in here Tuesday going to try to preach it. I come in here last night going to try to preach it. And it ain't looking like I'm going to do too good of a job tonight preaching it. But I want you to observe Job chapter 14 with me. Job chapter 13. Are we okay? I've not killed you, have I? I don't know why the Lord wanted me to write some of my failures down, but I did, and I just shared three. I was just going to share two, but y'all wanted to know. I could give you a fourth one. Chapter 13 of Job, in the first six verses, is Job holding peace. Hold your peace. Chapter 13, verse 7 down through verse 22. Job declares that God will not be mocked. Will you look at me a minute? I want to preach tonight on the gospel according to Job. Have you ever heard of it? I've not got an author yet that I can find to help me with this, but the Holy Ghost showed this to me. I've been looking for the gospel in all the books of the Bible since our basement experience in 2020. Dark places. And I'm preaching it for the first time tonight. This is, I've never preached this. And I'm going to show you the gospel. Is Job not our oldest book in the Bible? And I want to see if you can see it with me. So we see that God's not going to be mocked in chapter 13, 7 through verse 22. chapter 7 and verse 23 through verse 28, Job makes the statement, make me know my sin. Job is acknowledging sin. All right, we come to chapter 14, and Job declares the shortness of man. The shortness of man. Verse 1, that man is born of a woman, is a few days and full of trouble. Watch what Job says. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And doest thou open thine eyes upon such a one? Bringest me unto judgment with thee? Job is saying, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Verse 5, seeing his days are determined, the number of his mouth are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest till he shall accomplish as an hireling his day. Now watch this turn around in verse number 7. This, the next three verses is where I've discovered the gospel according to Job. For there is hope of a tree. If it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stock thereof die in the ground. Do y'all see the tomb right there? Verse number 9, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. Do y'all see the death, burial, and resurrection right there? So can I say tonight, the gospel according to Job, we all preach about the old patriarchs was looking to Calvary, and you and I are looking back at Calvary. Somebody said, now, Brother John, are you sure? Look in verse 7. For there is hope of a tree. I want you to look in 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 24. And let's see if we can't run those parallels. 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. Here it is. 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 24. The Bible said, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Y'all hear what Peter's a-saying? That we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Boy, ain't you glad for that? Somebody say, well, what if we could go to Revelation chapter number 5 and realize that he is called a root. Boy, ain't somebody glad he's a root out of Jesse, amen? So, verse number 7, he said, there is hope of a tree. If it be cut down, that it'll sprout again, and the tender branches thereof will not cease. He said, in other words, right there, if it was cut down, maybe there'd be something come from the stump. But look in verse number 8. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground. Do you realize it's forever gone? Oh, but verse number 9, yet through the scent of water. What is the Word of God a picture of tonight? What is Jesus a picture of tonight? Water, living water. Through the scent of water, it will bud. Hallelujah. And bring forth boughs like a plant. So are y'all seeing that with me tonight? That is the foundation of what I'm going to preach tonight. I can preach 40 easy points on the water. We could talk about Jesus. We could find Jesus in the rock that Moses brought forth water out of. We can look at Moses when he lifted up the rod of the, in the desert. Are y'all remembering that in John 3? Is that not a picture of the cross? Do you see the pictures all through our Bible? But God's brought three things to my heart dealing with these three verses. For there is hope of a tree. Could Job, somebody said, you believe Job's prophesying it here? I believe this book all points to Jesus on every page, in every verse, in every word. Amen? You try to find Jesus somewhere outside the Bible, you're going to get in trouble. He's right here. Are you hearing me? Oh, can I say number one tonight? That tree being a cross, that root, praise God, in Revelation 5, that water. The water's a type of the Word of God. And I want to give you this little thought too, is I smell water. I smell water. Is anybody smelling water? He said, yet through the scent of water. Hallelujah to God tonight. I've been wanting to preach this for a long time, and I'm hoping he'll let me. I want to say, number one, could Job seen the woman at the well? I don't believe he could. But I believe that woman at the well had a smell of water. Are y'all hearing me? I want to say, number one, tonight in the gospel according to Job, he might not have seen a little lady that was all washed up. I'm talking about her life was dissolved. Her flesh was her full desires. She had many husbands. She had many changes. She had many lifestyles. I know the Bible don't say this, but they had to be many children. They had to be some in-laws. They had to be multiple houses. Are y'all hearing me? They must have been a whole multitude of heartaches and mind that would convince her she was all washed up. Are y'all hearing me? Anybody in here ever felt like you was all washed up, that you was just wasted, your life was no longer going to be of any count? But I'm glad there was a sin of water. Hallelujah. When she sat out on the well, oh me, she didn't go when everybody else went, because they'd have run her off. But there's one waiting by the well. Anybody glad tonight with a washed up life? I'm talking about multiple men, multiple ladies. I mean a wreck, a ruin, but glory to God, through the sin of water, it budded, hallelujah. And the woman at the well smelled some water and she never got over. Hey! I smell water. She got a smell of water. Don't get upset with me nor the Bible. I'd love to take you to John 4. Jesus said, go tell thy husband. Jesus tested her right there. Jesus knew. He just wanted to see if she'd be honest with him. Somebody said, well, he'd have known. He's a free will God. He gives man choice. And you'll never get where you need to be with God until you get honest with God. If you've made a mistake, tell God you're sorry and correct your mistake. She said, the one I'm with is not my husband. And Jesus said, thou hast set us right. They said, the one you're with now is not your husband. He said, for you hast had five husbands. And the one you're with now is not your husband. That's pretty bad right there, ain't it? Huh? Somebody said, Jesus won't have nothing to do with me. Won't you go tell that woman at the well, she'll say, I got different news for you. I wish some of y'all just go ahead and get your help tonight. I wish some of y'all just dive on in all the way. To him that knoweth to do good, doeth it not, to him it's sin. If you know getting your life all the ducks in a row, why don't you just go ahead and get them all in the roll and smell some water? Hallelujah. I want to say the water smells good. The water tastes good. The water feels good. And though your past has been washed up, I'm glad God has got a new life for you because of the water. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I smell water. I don't know if it's here. And if it is, I'm not degrading anything. But I got them in my church. They all brothers and sisters, but all got different daddies. And if that's here, I don't know if it's here. If it's here, I'm not the greater nothing. You hear me? We got a church that works. I'm about to enjoy my own preaching. I mean, when I tell you a ramshackle life, a wasted life, brother, I've watched God let them walk down an aisle and get right with God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And God turned them around. Huh? Y'all know what a shotgun wedding is? Do y'all know what a shotgun wedding is? I've had them. I've had several of them. Is everybody okay? Man called me some time ago. I've had them beating on my door on a Monday morning a little after 5 o'clock. Had a handful of silver and gold. Had earrings. Had nose rings. Had tongue rings. I don't know what all he had in his hand. And he had them in his hand beating on my door. He said, I don't know what happened to me, preacher. He said, I'm losing my mind. I ain't slept all night long. He said, I got saved yesterday morning. He said, and I've been taking all this stuff out. I'm losing my mind. He said, do you know how much money all this costs? He said, and something's telling me I don't need to have all this. Yeah. I feel so good I'm about to sign my own Bible. I said, come on in, you ain't losing your mind. He said, I've been living with that woman for 11 years. He said, I crawled into bed with her. Is that all right? He said, I crawled into bed with her last night. And he said, something said that ain't right. He said, preacher, I've lost my mind. I said, oh, no, you ain't lost your mind. I said, go down and get you some marriage license. I said, God's going to give you greater love than you've ever had. Somebody help me. I just smell water. Hallelujah. I'm smelling some water tonight. I believe there's some fresh water coming down the pipe. For somebody, it's still waters tonight. Ain't some of you glad that you smelled water and I'm smelling on somebody else? Hallelujah. Yeah. He come in. He said, what am I going to do? I can't leave her. I said, you ain't going to leave her. Are y'all all right? He said, you mean marrying and fix this? I said, try it. He went down to the courthouse. Got license. Huh? And we married him. 3 weeks later, he come back. He said, preacher, I got a war. I said, what you wore? He said, well, he said, I know God saved me. He said, I got rid of all this. He said, I'm married. But he said, I hate to tell you. He said, but I got some girlfriends. I mean, this is a Jerry Springer show. He said, and I done told them I can't have nothing to do with them. And he said, they're going to tell on me. I said, you better get down there and tell her. Somebody help me. I said, you better get down there and tell her. And I said, matter of fact, you might ought to go get her. We okay, ain't we? I ain't in trouble, am I? He's standing up, I may be in trouble. Take it easy on me, sir. If he gives you the wink to get me, give me just a minute. I'll get out of here, all right? Hey, I mean, there's probably an Uzi
up in the beard of Brother Jeff right there. We ain't even going to talk about what Rojo's got in his pockets back there. I love y'all. You women, keep your pocketbook zipped up. I don't feel like dying tonight. I said, you better go get her and get her down here now. I said, we're going to get this fixed. Glory to God. He called her, and she come down the office, and we got it fixed. I'm telling you, I don't care how bad it's been. I don't care how dark it's been. I don't care how wicked you've been. I'm glad God, I can give you a love. I threw the sin of water because he did the woman at the well. She ran back and said, come, I see a man which told me all that I ever did do. Just the smell of water. Just the smell of water. I ain't having to make this up and read them out of no illustration book. It's called a New Testament church in full operation of the grace of God. You say, well, I never would stoop to that level. No, your attitude stinks worse than that level. Somebody help me. Somebody said, well, I ain't never been that bad. No, your attitude's a lot worse. At least they've come out and said, this is what I am. But Jesus said, let me tell you who I am. Sat out on the well. And let God let your mom smell water. He'll give you the well. I'm going to get in shape, I promise, for next year. I'm going on a diet, and I'm going to start exercising. Need your phone number so you can help me. Amen. Not only this woman at the well with a washed up life, Job didn't see that, but he said, through the sin of water, it'll bud. I picked two. I don't have but three thoughts, but I've picked two in the Bible with water. I want to talk about the prodigal son. The woman at the well had a washed up life, but the prodigal son had a wasted life. He is in a far land. He came to himself. Now the Bible says, and I'd like to go to Luke 15. The Bible talks about a riotous living. Now, if you look that up, Deacon, I'm black and white. I'm just plain Jane, okay? I was taught in the late 90s, here's what the professor said. He said, open you up an umbrella. Get a big umbrella, big enough for your wife to stand beside you. And he said, what I'm going to teach y'all is we're going to umbrella sin. He said, we're going to take all sin, put it up under the umbrella, and he said, I'm going to save you all a lot of trouble in your ministry by umbrelling sin. Well, I got one problem with that. God don't put it all under the same umbrella. He names sin. Are y'all with me? Sin is sin, but there's different penalties and price for sin. Are y'all with me? Sin is sin, but sin comes with different penalties. So you can't umbrella all sin and just say, well, it's all going to be all right. There's a price and a judgment to pay for sin. If I mess up greatly, I got to deal with it greatly. Okay? And so this prodigal, a riotous life, he wasted his money on harlots. He wasted his money, no doubt, on drugs. He wasted his money, no doubt, on all the pleasures of himself. Think about all the friends that he had down at the local tavern. Somebody said, no, Brother John, I wouldn't say that. Well, I'm going to say it tonight because God's bidding me to. I'm talking about he got his inheritance from a father that was wealthy. And he ruined every bit of it. But, hallelujah, I'm going to sit down right here. He's down at the end of his road. And guess what he's sitting in? Some dirty, stinky, muddy water. My father-in-law
I love him just enough to get to heaven. Y'all get that about tomorrow. And I'm just messing with you. Everybody has in-laws and outlaws. And can you think about that woman at the well with all them daddies and mamas she had to deal with, had five husbands, my Lord. Hello? Well, anyhow, the prodigal is down here at the end of the road. He's in muck. He's in mire. He's in, I believe I'm going to tell you what I believe. He's not only in the waste of the hogs. I believe it got so bad he was in his own waste. I believe the stench of his own body becomes so familiar to him that it didn't even bother him no more. Wasted. Useless. Oh, me. But Brother Chris, while he's down there in all that mud and that whole hog swine, he got the smell in something that was not from there. Are y'all with me? He got a smell of some water. Hallelujah. He said, I'll tell you what, it's so bad here. He had wasted it all. He said, if my daddy will just let me come back home. He said, I'm telling you, he said, if he'll just let me come back home, he ain't even got to call me a son. I'll just be a servant. I'll be a hired servant. Anybody in the house of God with me tonight, if he'll just let me back in, I'll be a servant. I'll be a slave. I'll submit to him. Hallelujah. Has anybody ever got out? I'm talking about you got in the mire and the mess, and you looked around, but through the sin of waters, anybody smell water? Anybody glad that when you was at your end, I'm talking about there was no hope, but somehow or another, Job said there's a tree, and the roots would be in the earth and die. He said, but yet through the sin of water, it'll bud again. Anybody glad you got it again in your life? I'm glad I have it again in my life. I've got more than one again. I've got more agains than I want to talk about. But I smell water. Hallelujah. I'm glad God let me smell the water. Hallelujah. What about the swine? The smell. In the sin, a wasted life. But God let him smell water. I'm usually a three-pointer. I'm marinated in this about 3 weeks. And the Holy Ghost woke me up. And are you ready for the third point that he gave me that I hope you'll get on the wagon with me? I smell water because the woman at the well. I smell water because the prodigal son in a far land. But I want to tell you something else. Not only was there a woman and a prodigal son, there was a man that got the smell of water. And you're looking at him. You're looking at him. Huh? And I want to tell you how I got the smell of it. I've never been out there. I've sinned. I've done things I wouldn't want nobody to know about. But I couldn't tell you what a drunkard's stoop feels like. I couldn't tell you what drugs do to your body other than what's all happened to me in the hospitals. I couldn't tell you what all the world has to offer. But my daddy can. My daddy can. My daddy didn't have a daddy. He had a daddy, but didn't have a daddy. Are y'all with me? My daddy had a mama, but in his childhood didn't have mama. Lived with his grandma. Daddy was taught you couldn't get saved till you was 12 years old. He was raised in an old school church of God. My granny died at 94 years old. She was an old church of God of prophecy. She got right way back yonder. But I'm talking about when my daddy was a child. I'm talking about my grandmother. I'm not here to iron all this out. But I think if we've got it right, it was either 9 or 11 marriages that she had, and she'd married my grandpa twice and married another man twice. Are you okay? Don't throw rocks at me. I'm talking about she had a washed up life. She had a wasted life, but God turned her around. Are you hearing me?
And the last probably 30 years of her life, she was one of the finest Christian women that she'd ever met. I'm telling you, if I'd ever wanted anybody to pray for me, I'd have wanted my granny to pray for me. I didn't know how wicked my grandma was. All my aunts and uncles knew. My daddy knew. My mama knew, but I didn't know. All I'd ever known she was a God-fearing Holy Ghost woman. Are you hearing me? I didn't know she had all them marks. Are y'all hearing me? I'm telling you, there may be some around you that knows all your bad, but there's more out there that don't know how your bad you was, and you need to quit living in guilt, and you need to quit living in defeat. You need to hold your head up high, and us that do know, we're just glad God forgive us too. Anybody hold it over your head, it's cause they at the wrong well smelling the wrong water. But anybody got a whiff of the Word of God, or got a whiff of Jesus, hallelujah, they'll be full of grace, hallelujah. I smell water because my daddy got a drink and my mama got a drink. And so I've not had a washed up life. I've not had a wasted life. I've had a wonderful life. Some of y'all's had a bad life, and I'm sorry. My daddy had a bad one. Are y'all hearing me? My mama was raised with a father that was an alcoholic. Got saved about 12 or 13 years before he died. But all of her life, she was raised by a man that drunk all the time. Oh, but let me tell you, praise God. Daddy had all them marks of the world on him. Don't y'all get mad at me, you hearing me? And Daddy would point them things out on his arms, and he'd say, boys, he'd say, don't get into sin. He said, don't mark your body up. And Daddy would go by, and he'd show us them beer joints, and he'd say, boys, don't y'all ever go there. My daddy was so close to being an alcoholic, Brother Shelby. He preached to us more about liquor than he did beer. He'd say, boys, you stay away from that liquor. Don't you ever get that beer, but you stay away from that liquor. It about consumed him. Are you hearing me? Oh, but because of the sin of water, hallelujah, and God rescuing my daddy and saving my mama, I didn't have to have a lifestyle like that. I'm sorry for the time, but I got to finish. I'm glad all these babies around here, they may have some mamas and daddies that's got the scars of the world on them. The mind that you deal with, you don't ever want nobody to know. Don't go back out there. Keep your babies in here, and your babies will never know what a drunkard stoop is. Your babies will never know what the world has to offer is because of the smell of water tonight. Brother Chris, if you'll come to the piano. I want to read a poem. I got a lot more preaching. I got a wonderful life. And you that are all that God's brought out, ain't you got a wonderful life now? I've heard you testify. Huh? God's let you be a father all these years to the fatherless. He's about to give you your own from the loin. Hallelujah. I wish I could go all through here. I mean, I've been knowing y'all. I've been preaching to some of y'all longer than the church members I have because they wouldn't last that long. Feel pretty good with y'all. Smell of water. See, I ain't smelled it in a while. Keep coming here and you'll smell it. All is well with my soul. God is the Lord Almighty. He's omnipotent King. He's the Lion of Judah. He's the Rock of Ages. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the Provider. He's the Protector. He's the Leader. He's the Ruling Lord. He's the Reigning King of all the universe. He is my Father. He is my Helper. He is my Guardian, and He is my God. He is the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He's the keeper of all creation and the creator of all that he keeps. He's the architect of the universe, and he's the manager of all times. He always was, he always is, and he always will be. Unmoved, unchanged, undefeated, and never undone. He was bruised and brought healing. He was pierced and eased pain. He was persecuted and brought freedom. He was dead and brought life. He is risen and brings power. He reigns and brings peace. The world can't understand him, and the armies can't defeat him. The schools can't explain him, and the leaders can't ignore him. Herod couldn't kill him. The Pharisees couldn't confuse him, and the people couldn't hold him. Nero couldn't crush him, and Hitler couldn't silence him. The New Age couldn't replace him, and Donahue can't explain him away. He is light, he is love, he is longevity, and he is Lord. He is goodness, and he is kindness. He is gentleness, because he's God. He is holy, he's righteous, he's mighty, he's powerful, and he's pure. His ways are right, his word is eternal, his will is unchanging, his mind is on me. He's my redeemer, he's my savior, he's my guide, he's my peace, he's my joy, he's my comfort, he's my Lord, and he rules my life. I serve him because his bond is love, his burden is light, his goal for me is eternal life. I follow him because he is the wisdom of the wise, he's the power of the powerful, he's the ancient of all days, he's the ruler of rulers, he's the leader of all leaders, he's the overseer of the overcomers, and he is the sovereign Lord of all that was and is to come. If that seems impressive, how about this? He wants a relationship with me and you. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. He'll never mislead me. He'll never forget me. He'll never overlook me. He'll never cancel my appointment in his appointment book. When I fall, he lifts me up. When I fail, he forgives me. When I'm weak, he is strong. When I'm lost, he is the way. When I'm afraid, he is my courage. When I stumble, he steadies me. When I'm hurt, he heals me. When I'm broken, he mends me. When I'm blind, he leads me. When I'm hungry, he feeds me. When I face trials, he's with me. When I face persecution, he steals me. When I face problems, he comforts me. When I face loss, he provides for me. When I face death, he carries me home. He's everything for everybody, everywhere, every time, in every way. He is God. He is faithful. I am his, and he is mine. And here's the reason I feel so secure. God said it, and I believe it. That settles it. God's in control. I'm on his side. And that means all is well with my soul. Hallelujah tonight. He can be every bit of that to you. I say this in closing. If I've said anything to hurt or offend anybody, I'll talk to you till the sun rises, because I'm so interested in you. I just wanted to show you the gospel according to Job concerning a washed up life, a wasted life, and a wonderful life. I don't know who your newest member is, but you're just as important as the oldest member is. That's the kind of church we have. Whoever the oldest member is here, and whoever the youngest member is here, you're just as important. There is no big I's and little U's. And I just wanted to show you, no matter what you think about your life, God can make it wonderful. Let's stand. Heads bowed, eyes closed. How many of you find a place in this altar? You might want to get your wife,
get your family, get your help. You say, preacher, I can't let sin go. Oh, yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. You ain't the one got to let it go. You just got to submit to him, and he'll give you strength to let it go. God will give you a home like you ain't never home. He'll make you a father like you never been. He'll make you a mother like you never been. He'll make you a God-fearing individual like you never believe. Our Father and our God, in Jesus' name, I feel impressed to pray with Stillwaters Baptist Church tonight. I could have named 40 other types of water, but these are the two that you wanted me to name. And I pray tonight, God, that you'd build this church continually. Homes and marriages. I pray Brother Josh would stay here so long, God, that he'd be marrying these babies off one day to people in this church like you've let me do. Lord, I got a wedding this Saturday. Lord God, got two weddings this month to church people. God, I just want to thank you that you let me be in a church long enough to see what you're doing. Lord, let these just hang around and give Brother Josh strength and touch his little old bride back there. Lord, let Brother Josh and Miss Amy live long enough pastoring right here to see their grandchildren married one day in the will of God. Lord, I'm glad Job said, is there hope of a tree? They was. Though the roots decay in the earth, in the ground. It did. But yet, through the sin of water, it'll bud again. Thank you for the gospel that Job seen in the death and the burial and the resurrection. Thank you, Father. It's what brings hope to this country and to this soul. Meet the needs in Jesus' name. You pray as long as you need. You mind the Lord tonight. Pray as long as you need.